This podcast is a ministry of Christian Life Center in Berwyn, Illinois. Our goal is to develop real faith for the real world. For more information, please go to www.berwynag.org.
Maybe open up to Luke chapter 19, verse 1. We're going to go to Luke 19, 1 through 10. And I can hear already a little bit of, I already know that story. I'm not in children's church. I already know this story. I got the title of this message called Jesus Wants You. Jesus Wants You. The story is about Zacchaeus, and when you're there, I'm going to read it. Everybody there? Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through. And a man there by the name of Zacchaeus was a chief tax collector. That's important. Remember, chief tax collector. And he was wealthy. He wanted to see who Jesus was, but being a short man, remember short, he could not because of the crowd. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore fig tree to see him. And since Jesus was coming that way, when Jesus reached the spot, he looked up and said to him, Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today. And so he came down at once and welcomed him and gladly, and all the people saw this and ran to mutter. This is my favorite part here. All the haters immediately looking at Jesus like, oh my gosh. These are the holy people. And all the people saw this and began to mutter, he has gone to be the guest of a sinner. But Zacchaeus stood up and he said to the Lord, look, Lord, here now I give half of my possessions to the poor. And if I have cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay back four times the amount. And Jesus said to him, today salvation has come to this house. Because this man, too, was the son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save what was lost. I'm going to talk about Zacchaeus. You know, a lot of times we focus on just Jesus in this part. And although Jesus is the main part of this whole thing, we need to understand who Zacchaeus was to understand the greatness that Jesus was to him. It's kind of like you can't know, you don't know the blessings of sunshine if you've never seen rain, one of those things. So you can't really get the fullness of the goodness of Jesus Christ unless you know who Zacchaeus was. And so you're thinking right now, well, he's a tax collector. I know that already. I already know he's a tax collector. He's a chief tax collector, which means he's a mob boss. He is like the Al Capone of his day. He would send out his little street thugs, the wise guys, send them out. They would shake everybody down, little old ladies. They would take all their money, much more than they were supposed to, and that's how they got paid. That's how the tax collector got paid. He would say, well, you really owe two. I'm taking four. And so he'd send his guys out, and then they would come back, and he would get a cut of his take, which means he started at like a tax apprentice, and then he was good at robbing people. And so they made him an official tax collector. He even had the pin to prove it. And he got better, and he was made chief, which means he was good at stealing from his own people. You see, Zacchaeus was a Jew. And so he would steal from his own people and give to the Romans who were in charge at that time. He was taking from his own and giving to the Romans. Tax collectors were hated. They were seen as pimps, thugs. And he was a chief thug. This is not a guy that is easily persuaded. Funny part is this is a short guy, so you know he's got a complex. Because every short mob boss out there is the most violent one because he's got something to prove. How many of you guys know that? Every movie you see, and he's like this big, you know, and he's killed 1,400 people. And so we know he was a short man. We know he was very good because the Bible says he was wealthy. And we know he was a chief tax collector, which means he was one of the worst of the worst. And he's probably a proud man, too. And so, knowing the prophecies of this Messiah that's supposed to come and hearing the rumors in town, he comes and he's like, I got to see this guy. But he's short. And you know, he's thinking, oh, man, I wonder what does a Messiah wear? I'm going to buy two of them. And he's a proud guy. You know, he's going to one-up. You know he's short, so you know he's going to try to one-up the Messiah, guaranteed. And he comes in, and he can't see because he's short, and he gets angry, and he sees this tree, and he climbs up this tree, right? Jesus comes by. See, Zacchaeus, come down, bro. I want to spend time with you. And so on and so on. He repents and it's all good and right. We all know the story. It's plain and simple. But I want you to stop right now. You don't know this story. I want you to hear this. You've never heard it before. I want this to be new and fresh in your mind because I think we're missing a great part of this whole story. And a lot of it I see in churches, not just ours, but churches today. Zacchaeus was a short man. Christians, we're short spiritually. And that's not a slam. The Bible says for all have fallen short of the glory of God. Don't get all offended yet. You'll get offended later, I promise. He was a short man. He was a proud man. He was used to getting what he wants and doing it himself. He was a pimp. He was a thug. What's funny is we see Jesus calling to him first. He doesn't go to the people in front. He calls to this man. I bet you there were Pharisees and people who were dressed in real nice robes and looking all nice, but he goes to this man first. Truth is, most of us are like Zacchaeus. We're a spiritual tree climber. Spiritually, we're short. We're not meeting up to the standards. And we think somehow that we are going to see Jesus under our own efforts. Somehow we are going to build up enough righteousness that we'll finally be able to see Jesus. And you know what? It's got so many Christians trapped. So many people are getting stuck, and I believe it's the work of the enemy telling you, you got to be bigger, badder, faster, stronger before you can really encounter Jesus. You need to be more righteous, more holy, a better Bible reader. You need to be able to quote all of Psalms 119 like this. And then you're going to have that encounter that you keep reading about in the Bible with Jesus Christ. In fact, there are churches out there today that are making these steps. This is how you must live, blah, 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 blah. What's funny is we think about the 600 plus rules added on by the Pharisees to the original Ten Commandments, and what did that do to them? And now in the modern day church, we're beginning to build the same steps, the ones that Jesus came and tore down. But you shouldn't wear that to church. That's not how you should look. That's not how you should worship. Everybody needs to worship like this. Don't you know that? It's how it's done. You're not going to see Jesus. You need to do it better. People, it's the biggest lie. The biggest lie. It would make sense if this is what we saw in this story, right? Zacchaeus, as soon as you get your act together, I want you to come down from the tree. Then I want to spend time with you. Right? That would be like, oh, so I got to get all my stuff together, then I'll meet Jesus. But no, what did Jesus say? Hey, bro, come down. I want to eat at your house. There's no conditions. There's no, this is what you have to do first. I see so many pastors with their fingers out. What happened is they've sucked the love of Jesus right out of the church. We're losing what it is to have a Savior who has given us the greatest love mankind will ever know because we're building these rules so that one day we might encounter Jesus. The truth is, Jesus is not waiting for one day. He wants to do it now. That's the truth. Oh, but I was told so many things from the time I was little, and so I began to build my own tree. So I can see Jesus. Well, Jesus, I know I'm still struggling here, but I got half of it, so I'll get half a step here. I won't give myself a whole foot, I'll give 6 inches. And I can kind of do this. And we begin to climb this shaky tree that we built ourselves in order to see Jesus. And every time that tree falls down, the burden of condemnation and guilt will always bring that tree down, and we find ourselves falling every time on this spiritual tree that we've built and planted under our own works, and we land and we have to start over again every time, and every time we don't see Jesus. Why? Because we're trying to build ourselves up, thinking Jesus won't see me where I'm at. But man, if you believe the Bible, and I do, it couldn't be any further from the truth. Truth is, you're never going to earn it. Truth is, you're never going to earn it. You won't ever be worthy. Truth is, I am not worthy to be up here preaching. Truth is, I'm not worthy to be a worship leader. Truth is, he's not here, don't say that, he can't defend himself. My dad is not worthy to be a pastor of the Most High God. That's the truth. And you're not worthy to pray to him? That's not a slam, it's the truth. But we read in the Bible, and we see in the Bible that his grace is sufficient, and we see where sin abounds, grace abounds more abundantly. And we see Jesus coming to the sinners before they're perfect, before they got their stuff together, before they wear the right Christian clothes and they pray the right Christian garbage prayers. Sound good in public, don't even reach heaven, they bounce off the ceiling, come right back down on them because they like to hear themselves pray. We see Jesus going to Zacchaeus and saying, hey, calm down. I want to spend some time with you. And the crazy part is Zacchaeus takes him home, and we don't hear that Jesus bombards him with how bad of a person he is. We don't hear that he gives him the scripture of his life or he alters him. We don't hear that he laid hands on him and he fell over and flopped like bacon on a frying pan. We don't hear any of that. What we do hear is he went and spent time with them. And then there's that gap. What happened? Well, I imagine Jesus just listening to him, just chilling back. Jesus and his sinners. Hanging out. Sitting back and they're eating. Well, yeah, and you know, I became this tax collector, and you know. No, I mean, I rob people. Yeah, no, I steal from all old ladies. It didn't used to sound so bad. No, yeah, I betray my own people. Huh. You see, what we see is that just the encounter with Jesus Christ, not a good sermon, not a good worship team, not a good day at church. Just the encounter begins to allow him to see. It opens his blind eyes to this, and he begins to see, I'm a sinner. And he jumps up. Well, it's like this because he's short. If he was taller, it would have been a lot better, but he's just a little guy. He jumps up and he says, Lord, look, Lord, here now I give half of my possessions to the poor, and if I have cheated anybody, I'll pay him back four times the amount. God, take everything that I've done. He immediately sees and gives a true heartfelt repentance, and immediately he was saved, and all Jesus goes, oh man, salvation's in this house. You notice there's not all these steps. There's not this 12-step program of salvation. You don't got to do this. A plus B equals C, and we're in there, and we're doing that, and we got to do this. And next thing you know, you're a Christian, and you feel like spiritually you're on the one leg, and how long can I hold this up? And you fall down, you get up, and then you try again, and you're like this again, trying to balance on your own works, on your own faith, on your own strength. And every time you fall down, and you find yourself getting up with less strength, and you find yourself losing everything that you have, and you find yourself coming to church no longer even know. I don't even know if I believe you anymore because I've been doing it for so long and I don't ever encounter Jesus. Do you know that we find ourselves getting the strength taken out of us as the enemy laughs? Because the truth of the matter is, Jesus wants you now. That's the truth. Not when you're perfect. Not when you got it all together. Jesus wants you now. It's like that old military sign. Uncle Sam wants you. Jesus, the fire of heaven, the Son of the Most High, your Savior, wants you now. He's saying, Mark, I want to eat at your house. Alex, I want to eat at your house. Yeah, but my house is dirty, God. My kids are crazy. They got toys everywhere. No, it's cool. I want to eat at your house. You know, and sometimes Jesus begins to speak, and then we begin to stop him. Well, God, I don't think I'm ready for all that. If I could share with you a little window into my life. When I gave my life back to God, and somebody comes up and says, hey, I got a word from God for you. I'm like, don't talk to me. I was a really angry person. And I was new. They said, hey, God says you don't have any time to dip your feet in his water. He's going to throw you in head first. Have a good Sunday, brother. God's going to drown me? I just gave him my life. Like, geez, I didn't take long to screw that up. I've only been saved for about a week. I didn't realize he was going to say that He was moving me forward. You see, I haven't hit all the steps I'm supposed to hit. I didn't go to Bible college. Oh! I don't have the piece of paper. I'm leading your youth and I'm not certified. Oh my gosh. Get up and leave now. I'll let you. Go ahead. And I couldn't see God. Yeah, but my dad went to Bible college and my brother went to Bible college and every other pastor I know went to Bible college. Obviously, that dude's whacked. He's like, no, he's not. I'm moving you through. Yeah, but God, there's steps to do. Mm-mm. You've just encountered me. I don't have those building blocks, that structure. Some of you might completely disagree, and I don't care. I don't care. I really don't. And Zacchaeus didn't care that he was still a sinner when he hopped out that tree and took Jesus hand to hand back to his place and ate dinner with him. He definitely didn't care that he didn't do all the 600 or whatever was rules that they had going on back then when he hops up and says, I'm giving everything I've taken back, Jesus, I'm following you. And he really didn't care when Jesus said, salvation has come to this house. Do you see that the trees and the ladders that we're building so that one, maybe on our own strength, we can see Jesus? Do you see that it's a waste of time? It's a waste of time. It's as simple as this. For God so loved the world. Not when they were perfect. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son. I think we're missing these basic Bible verses. These old Bible stories we haven't heard. I think we're missing them. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, and Jesus came, and Jesus so loves you that he went to a cross. And Jesus so loved you that he did it before you were perfect. He did it knowing that you're still going to trip up. Jesus so loves this church that he is willing to come and spend time with us in our worship. And as we just seek and want to be closer to him. I don't have a fancy PowerPoint. But what I do know is Jesus wants you. Jesus wants you. I'm going to have Velasco, would you play something for me? I didn't want to speak long because I'd rather have you guys encounter Jesus than listen to me blab. So I want to open up this altar as she plays and I'm just going to play. And I'm not going to come, I'm not going to pray over you. I don't have a magic word from God for you. But if you are ready to encounter, I don't care if you've been saved for 115 years. If you know, I just need to get back to Jesus, or I just need to get back to the basics, I want to invite you forward. If you're saying, man, I know what he means when he does this, because that's how I feel every day as a Christian, shakable, being tossed by every situation, I want to invite you forward. You don't have to wait for me to say something. If you need it, come and get it. Jesus says, I want you. If you want it, come and get it. If you're ready to encounter God, or encounter Jesus, your Lord and Savior, and stop being, man, I hope this becomes real at some point in time. Come get it. Come get some.
Thanks for listening to today's message. We hope you were blessed by it. If there's a way we can help you grow in your relationship with Jesus Christ, we'd love to do that. Contact us at www.berwinag.org. God bless you.